Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 to chapter 3, verse 13. Next slide. Yes. So the topic is on Christian ministry. I have a young friend who is very dear to me. I call him Aboy. He came to know the Lord Jesus when he was studying overseas. And in his final year of university, he felt called to full-time Christian ministry. He knew that I once served in church as a pastor, and so he contacted me. So he asked me, Ai or Auntie Yok Ching, can you tell me more about what pastoral work involves? I was a bit overwhelmed by emotion. One hand, I was very awed by God calling him. At the same time, I was filled with joy. I wanted a boy to know that, hey, this is a very sacred calling from God. What does a pastor do? The pastor is a carer. He cares primarily about the well-being of those entrusted to him, especially their spiritual health. The pastor's desire is for believers to benefit from an intimate relationship with God, because the pastor himself has personally experienced the blessings that come with that relationship. So, as a pastor, he will always be asking, how are you flourishing in the Lord? How may I facilitate your growth? I led a boy to the passage this morning, which is the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. It mentions two men in this passage, Paul and Timothy. They were two men who labored together to further God's kingdom. And we learn from them timeless principles about how God's workers serve the gospel and serve the church. Paul and Timothy had a very unique relationship. Paul was the person who led Timothy to Christ. But his ministry does not end here. Paul will continue to nurture this young man in his Christian walk and his service. When Paul traveled around Minor Asia to preach the gospel and establish churches, Timothy will follow him everywhere. And in one of their mission trips, they brought the gospel to Thessalonica. Paul was later forced to leave the city due to the local religious leaders rejecting his gospel as unorthodox. How then did Paul minister to the new believers in his absence? And that's what Christian ministry is about. And so let's find out from Paul's letter to them. Chapter 2, verse 17, talks about the pastor's heart. But since we are torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. These words reveal Paul's heart for his friends. He takes a genuine care and interest in them. He looks after them or cares for them, these believers, as the way that a parent would feel for his child. We see Paul's intense love for them reflected in these three things. His longing to meet them again, the joy that the friendship brings, and his sense of pride and hope in them. Right now, to be physically separated from them was very painful to Paul, and used the description torn away, tear away. So this feeling of tear away, torn away from our loved ones, I believe we all experienced it during these 2 years of a pandemic, when many families were forced to live apart. We long for the time to come when we can reunite physically. And we know if there's no genuine love and care for one another, the pain will not be so acute. So if our boy wanted to find out more about the job description of the Christian worker, and he asked, what are your roles and responsibilities and your performance indicators? You know, for the 42 hours a week that you work, what do you do? And what were some of these benefits and so on? Well, our boy, here's a timely reminder from Paul on what truly matters. At the heart of ministry is the God we worship and the people we serve. So please don't be too hung up about your JD of your work, your KPI. Instead, I will pray for you first to have that genuine and deep love and concern for God's people. Well, friends, many of us recently made commitments to participate in outreach through this 幸福 小组. I also pray, may God draw us to care genuinely for the friends with whom we foster relationships with, and that we will really minister to their needs as a parent would to a child. So we think, wow, to have to commit our lives so deeply to the lives of somebody else, the lives of others, it seems so tiring and can be quite daunting. And our boy, he wonders, i.e., does that mean that the Christian ministry is about a lot of toil and a lot of pain? Well, surely no. Paul and Timothy will testify to the immense satisfaction of bringing people to faith in Christ. You look at Paul. He was not disheartened by the difficult situations that he found himself in. In fact, his circumstances were very awful. He was humiliated by opposers, expelled from a city, and now left alone in Athens without the fellowship of co-workers. But all these so-called undesirable circumstances in no way diminish Paul's joy. And this joy is an unmistakable mark of mature Christians. So what brings joy to the Christian workers? Paul states emphatically, is it not you? Is it not you? What a strange answer. Paul says, my joy comes from you, the people that I serve. Indeed, relationships that's forged through the gospel is God's special gift to Christian workers. Ministry is akin to parenthood, where the Christian worker will find delight and solace in his spiritual children. He will feel pride each time that his spiritual child makes a growth milestone. Now, Paul was never married, and he never was a father in the physical sense, but he has numerous spiritual offsprings, and he says of them, you all are our crown of boasting and our glory. The imagery, as you can see, is of athletes who have completed a grueling race and now stand on the podium with wreaths on their heads, crowns of glory. So, about it, wait, you mean as ministry workers, we can be ambitious for glory? Yes, of course, we can be ambitious and we can desire to succeed, and we should desire to succeed in what we do for God. Not for our own glory, but for Him. We are ambitious for Christ. Ministry workers are like coaches who push and cheer their disciples each step of the way. When they fall, we help them out. When they are discouraged, we got to spur them on. And we always harbor the hope that our spiritual children will finish their race victoriously in glory. So friends, you and I are here today also because of spiritual fathers who have coached us. Some have passed on and gone ahead in glory. There is mutual motivation and edification in this journey together. As you minister to others, in return, you will be blessed to grow, and God will cause you to grow in your Christian maturity. Christian workers must be dreamers and realists. They must keep two horizons in sight as we serve. On one hand, we are on the ground. We are realistic to acknowledge the challenges and hardships that come with sacrificial service. On the other hand, we must lift our eyes up more than beyond the current state and be driven by the divine vision of the wondrous state at the coming of our Lord. Verse 19, it says. So this longing for the future glorious state will strengthen us to carry on the ministry of service, despite all the setbacks. Without this divine vision, without this God's promises, all our efforts will be laborious and meaningless. But with Christ or with God's assurance and presence, then all our endeavors will be possibilities in the strength and grace of God. That's what was said just now, we can do all things in God, in His strength and grace. With these two horizons in view, the Christian worker embraces the tension of the heartaches, at the same time the joy in ministry. And once your heart is in the right place, the ministry worker is ready for action. Point two, the pastor's work is the labor of discipleship. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-workers in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourself know beforehand, you yourself know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we are to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor be in vain. The core task of Christian ministry is discipleship. And Paul is eager to find out how his spiritual children are doing. Have they integrated their faith in their walk? Is their way of life consistent to the grace of the gospel? And since he is unable to step foot in Thessalonica, he now sent young Timothy to visit them. Timothy is so dear to Paul. He's God's son. Paul regards him highly. He says, this is God's co-worker, not my co-worker, not some kind of intern who does the chores for Paul. This is God's fellow co-worker, Timothy. Timothy was tasked to do three things. Firstly, to help the believers build upon their newfound Christian faith. Two, to teach them to live with the realities of life. Like today, to live with the pandemic. Timothy will have to teach them how to deal with that. And third, to encourage them to persevere in their walk with God despite afflictions. That's discipleship in essence. These three things. Discipleship begins with helping believers to develop their knowledge in God's truth. Why? Because the truth, God's truth, will transform your worldview, how you make sense of what's happening in life and what truly matters. And for the Thessalonica believers particularly, Paul wants them to understand the cost of following Jesus. In presenting the gospel to them, Paul had been mindful to explain very clearly that following Christ is no bed of roses. Verse 3, verse 4, it says, you already know we are destined for afflictions, and we kept telling you beforehand. What a marked contrast to some of today's evangelists whose main objective is to increase followers and benefit or boost their own fame and their own wealth. These false preachers will readily peddle a gospel and tell you that all your problems will vanish when you become my member, our member. However, they do not emphasize, or they omit to emphasize, the discipline of living right with God and having a right relationship with God. Not so for Paul. Paul was deeply concerned to build up the young believers. He's not complacent with just laying foundations and foundations and foundations, relationships and relationships, no. His call is for the believers to grow in maturity, to grow. And for the Christian worker, you want to grow your disciples, then there's no shortcut to discipleship or doing follow-up. You have to be deliberate and persistent. Send your WhatsApp, make calls, do house visits, meet up, and check in on each other. And for this incident, Thessalonica, Timothy was to travel by foot and see to Thessalonica to deliver Paul's teaching face to face. So in those days, no email, no aeroplane, no train. Still has to travel and do face to face discipleship. So why go through all this effort? Can't we just leave the believers alone and then let them develop naturally? Well, Paul and his colleagues knew very well that the evil one would spare no effort to make the believers stumble and give up their faith. Because, you see, friends, In life, there will be challenges, inevitable. And these setbacks can either strengthen believers to grow stronger and wiser, or they can zap our energy and distract us so that we leave the path, fall back, and go back to our own paths of destruction. Jesus once told this parable of different types of soil to illustrate this very important truth. He says, new believers are like seeds sown on the soil. Some fell on rocky soil, which means their faith has no roots. They fall away after a short while because they do not grasp or have not grasped the essence of the gospel. There were others that were like seeds sown on thorns. Once the cares or the riches or the pleasures of life overwhelm them, they fall away because they lack a deep relationship with God. The important ones are those, or the essential are those sown on good soil. These are the ones that will hold fast to the truth with an honest and a good heart. And in due time, they become very fruitful. They reap a harvest 100 times and 100 times more. And so, friends, in essence, this describes what a blessed or a flourishing life entails. What is the 幸福人生 or the 丰盛人生 that I've always been asked in my cell group? What does 丰盛人生 mean? Or 幸福人生? The description in the Bible is about a healthy and very robust tree planted by the bank. It does not matter what the external conditions are, and even if they're very harsh, the tree does not wither because it draws its resources continually from the bank, or from the flowing river, which is God. Then it keeps growing, and then it provides lots of fruit and shade to bless people. And that is the flourishing life that God desires for you, for me, and to bless those that follow Christ. And these promises and blessings in God, in Christ, are real. Having experienced this, Paul would labor hard to share and teach this gospel. So does Timothy. They do not want the tempter to thwart God's work and shortchange believers of the rich benefits that the gospel will bring. Sending Timothy away, sending Timothy to do discipleship comes at a personal cost to Paul. He's left alone to soldier on, and we are again reminded of the sacrifices for the sake of the gospel that many have made. Their missionaries, their families, they will willingly bear the pain of separation and even loneliness for the sake of propagating the gospel to unreached people in very remote places. Third one, the pastors. Harvest is his joy and the legacy. Verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and the love, and reported that you have always remembered us kindly and long to see us, as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and afflictions, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. So our boy, Christian ministry is very costly, okay, but it's never futile. No effort is wasted because God will bring everything, all things, to fruition in his due time and his good time. Indeed, Timothy returns from his mission with good news. He says that believers have remained steadfast in their faith despite Paul's absence and despite opposers discrediting his gospel message. The good news is their lives were aligned to God's saving grace, and they demonstrated Christian love for each other. And they were filled with joy, and they were thanksgiving for the gospel. In return, the believers' growth directly impacted Paul. The missionaries had been feeling quite drained and stressed and tired, distressed, you know, by the hardships they encountered. But now, good news for the spiritual children has brought comfort to them, like streams in the desert. And Paul exclaims, because of your steadfast faith in the Lord, we live, almost something like we triumph. Yeah. And say, Christian ministry is indeed energizing and rejuvenating amidst all the costs. By God's grace, our spiritual children can draw out the best in us. As iron sharpens iron, their growth will spur us on to develop our own maturity. And for ministry workers or Christian workers, your collaborative fruits of labor will go beyond your personal or your individual joy and your individual spiritual harvest. It's a combinative effort, it's a collaborative effort, and you will leave a legacy of transformed lives and transformed communities that remain even when you are no longer around. And because of people like Paul and Timothy, the good news of salvation has spread and spread and spread from Jerusalem to Minor Asia to all parts of the world, and now reaching this little red dot of Singapore. And we will benefit of these efforts, these collaborative generations of effort. You and I inherit the blessings of God because of the dedication and ministry of these kingdom co-workers. And would you today also join these saints in their worthy ministry to make a lasting impact on lives and communities? In the final paragraph, Paul pens his prayer. See, no matter where Paul is and what his circumstances, his ministry continues. He prays. He intercedes earnestly for his spiritual offspring. The ministry workers, your work, your ministry does not end. And this prayer is also the prayer and hope of our spiritual mentors and those who have gone before us. They're still praying for you at the right hand of God to cheer you on. Number four, the pastor's prayer. Verse 9. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray earnestly night and day, that we might see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. First of all, Paul will ask God to increase our love to overflow for one another and for everyone else, because he knows this sacrificial love is not something natural for human beings. We need divine help. So we pray and we ask God, increase our love to be like God, because the Bible tells us that God is love, enduring love, embodied in the life of Jesus Christ. And for those who have experienced his mercy, may God empower us to show compassion toward others. Then love becomes the mark or the nature of mature Christians. And when believers like us show compassion to one another, people will know that the living God indeed dwells amid us, that the power of God's love indeed triumphs over evil. Second, Paul prays that God establish our hearts, meaning to make it strong, make it resolute in our belief. The Christian journey, you see, is lifelong. Starting well is not enough. What counts is finishing right. And to finish right, it's necessary for us to have a firm foundation in our faith and develop resilience. And then whatever challenges we encounter, even if we fall down, we will pick ourselves up again and we'll never be shaken, but instead emerge stronger at every turn. Until we meet God in glory, we have this assurance that Jesus Christ and his saints are upholding us in their prayer and in their intercessions day and night. Third, Paul prays for us to remain blameless in holiness before God until our Lord returns. To be holy is to be set apart as God's precious possession for his use. And in Christ, we have been distinguished or separated from the rest, dedicated to love God and to serve him. To be blameless, the person who is blameless before God is the one who is acceptable for God or accepted for God. So this person is like a dear child. He's always accepted by God, who can come boldly at any time into his holy presence and enjoy his favor and his rest. So brothers and sisters, Christian ministry is not about converting a lot of people to Christianity. It is to align with God's heart to restore lives and transform communities. And in Christ, God has set us free. to pursue purposeful and fruitful lives. So I got in touch with Aboy. I said, hey, how are you? How are you doing? He has commitments to fulfill upon his graduation. I thank God that he loves the Lord deeply and he devotes time to be with Jesus every day. He says that learning the word, reading the Bible, meditating has become a joyful discipline for him. I poke him. I say, you have to start teaching and doing some preaching if you can. He finds it very challenging, but he's willing to try. Our boy is aware that he need not wait until he becomes a pastor or a missionary to serve God and the church. And so right now, he already actively reaches out to campus students and he participates in Bible study groups. He will readily avail himself to join his pastor in visitations, in follow-ups, and now also in sermon preparations. Our boy continues to be amazed by God's work in his own life and in the lives of those he ministers to. Brothers and sisters, this morning, God calls you to join the ranks with Paul and Timothy and a boy and thousands of other gospel co-workers to be God's co-workers in his ministry. So would you take up the call and the challenge? May God bless us all.